want to turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and it's already 10, 12 and a half minutes after 11. So I'm getting a late start, and I'm trying to surprise you all by ending at a decent time. When God gets through with me, I'll quit. Okay? All right. 2 Chronicles, we are going to read about this great incident in Jehoshaphat's life. It's a well-known story to the Church of God. We want to review it this morning and look at it again. In verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. They came to engage in a conflict. They came to cause trouble. And in our lives, there are many things we as Christians, children of God, are going to be confronted by the enemy, and he's going to do battle against us. This is a spiritual warfare we have engaged in, right? It is a battle. It's a war. It's a conflict. It's not meant to be an easy road to heaven. Can we agree with that? That sounds better. Amen. Being saved is not guaranteeing you an easy road to heaven. We enter into a battle and a conflict, and it's that way all of our Christian life. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazatamar," which is Anjo. You have to forgive my pronunciation. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord." Jumping down to verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." I want to say right here this morning, we need to learn to glance at trouble and gaze upon the Lord. Too many times in our midst of our battles and our strives against the enemy, we find ourselves gazing intently at the trial. We focus on the problem. We get our attention fixated upon our difficulty, and this is only human nature. But by the power and Spirit of God, we need to learn to turn our gaze into a glance. Just give it a light glance and then set your focus upon the Lord. Let him be the very center of all of your living. Get your eyes off of the Goliath, as we heard the other night, and get your eyes on the Lord. Set your gaze upon the Lord. Amen. Just glance at your troubles. "And all Judah," verse 13, "stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Joel, the son of Mattiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And this prophet said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, This is what the Lord has to say to you. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Amen. Now that's easy to say, isn't it? That's easy for somebody to tell you. Hey, remember, this battle's not yours, it's God's. Yeah, but they're not the one in the battle. And the battle to you is severe. It is real. It is a very real event in your life. Sometimes, you know, you can't feel another person's pain. Somebody says, I've got my back is hurting so bad, I can't hardly stand. And you say, well, Lord bless you. We'll pray for you. But you can't feel that pain. You have no idea what they're going through. And you walk away and forget all about that. Amen? Because you're not feeling the pain. It ain't hurting you. But when you are going through the battle, when you are in pain, when you are suffering, when you are in the conflict, when your spiritual experience is being tested to the limit, you are the one that needs to hear from God. Amen. So as we look here, the word, the message came to Jehoshaphat through the prophet, through the man of God. And this is what he told him in verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeru. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Now God said this, and he specified this battle. Every battle is not the same. God has different strategies for us in different types of our conflict. Amen. But this battle, Jehoshaphat, you're not going to have to fight. You're not going to have to war against it yourself. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Amen. God said, you know, some people cannot follow the simplest instructions. Do you ever know that? They can't follow the simplest instructions. This lady was applying for a job. One of the questions on her at her interview was told to answer this question in one word. What do you feel you have to offer our company? Answer it in one word, the instruction said. She wrote, I have many attributes that I can bring to this company. She didn't get the job. She wanted one word answer. And it was written in black and white. Answer in one word. What do you have that you can bring to this company? And she wrote about 7 or 8 words. People can't follow the simplest instructions. Around Jericho, when they were marching 6 days in a row, one trip each day, thousands of people marching around the walls of Jericho. God told them to keep quiet, not to say a word, keep silence. I can't hardly imagine those orders being obeyed today. Somebody in that crowd is going to talk, right? I can hardly comprehend that you could get thousands of people marching through the dust, the heat of the day, thirsty, weary, tired, exhausted. Surely somebody would have to voice a complaint. It might be you. It might be me. I don't know why we have to do this every day, 6 days in a row, and then have to do it again the seventh day. Seven times! Don't say a word until you hear the trumpet sound, and then let loose with your shouts and praise. Amen? How would you have survived that? I know I'd have been in trouble from the first day on. There's always something in me when I was a kid that when I was told to shut up, don't say another word, I had to say another word. Amen. Mother said, I don't want to hear another word out of your mouth. Well, but, bam. I always wanted to get the last word in. Amen. She knows. King Saul was told to go to Gilgal and wait. He couldn't obey that simple instruction. Naaman just about lost his healing because he couldn't follow or didn't want to follow a simple instruction. Here, God told Jehoshaphat, you shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. God would tell us that today in the face of some of our difficulties of life, we would begin to wonder, how's this going to work? I don't know if I can do this. Do I have to really stand still? Do I have to really just, and I'm not supposed to do nothing? I don't understand this. But listen, can't we just obey God? Can't we just listen to the word? Can't we just obey the pastor? Can't we just take the word of God as it's preached and believe it and grasp it and get a hold of it? Come on, saints. Surely that's the answer to many of our difficulties in life, is people always like to add their thoughts. I know God said this. I know our pastor preaches this. But I think, and Naaman said the same thing, didn't he? I thought Elijah would come out here and make a big to-do over me. After all, I'm not just somebody, I'm Naaman. Amen. But that prophet sat back in his house, didn't even peek through the curtains. Sat back through the house and just sent his servant out to tell him what to do. Amen. He wasn't impressed by Naaman. He wasn't touched by all of his gifts and all the things he had. But Naaman got in trouble, almost lost his healing because he thought things are not always going to go according to our thoughts, our reasoning, our understanding. But listen to what Jehoshaphat did. In verse 18, he bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They didn't even have the victory yet, but they were praising God for it because they had God's word. They had the assurance of God being with them. They were obeying the will of God so they could shout ahead of time. They praised God. They worshiped Him. them. They didn't even have the answer yet. They didn't have the victory yet. But because God said, we need to take a hold of that, saints, and rejoice in what God said. But we can say, well, I'm still in the battle. Well, yeah, but what did God say? He said, I'll take care of you. I'll bring you through it. I'll be with you. Amen. What should we do then? Bow our heads down, worship the Lord, praise his name, and let him know, oh God, I'm glad you're in charge of this battle in my life. God will not fail you. He will not let you down. And they arose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, and praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And you can read on in there through the rest of that and find out how great a victory that they had. They had a victory because they obeyed the voice of God. They did not get the victory because of their own strength, their own wisdom, their own character, their own position in the church. They got the victory because they obeyed the Lord. And if you and I are going to have victories in our life, we're going to have to explicitly obey what the Lord says to us. We must not argue against it. We must not allow our human reasoning to enter the picture. We cannot see things altogether through our eyes, but we've got to submit ourselves to the will of God and trust him and believe in him. Now, comes to mind a little story told by Brother Jerry Arbaugh many, many years ago. And you've heard it. I'm sure you've all heard it. It's about a man walking a cable across the Niagara Falls. He walked back and forth on that cable, and the crowd cheered and really got excited about that. And then he asked them if they thought he could push a wheelbarrow across. And they all yelled, yeah, well, we believe you can do that. So he got a wheelbarrow and pushed that across that cable, across Niagara Falls, and pushed it back. If I got across one time, I don't think I'd ever try to go back. But he came back. And then he asked the crowd, how many of you think I could push a person in the wheelbarrow across the cable? Yeah, we believe you can. They trapped themselves right there. Hey, we believe you can. So, all right, who's going to volunteer? Come on up here and get in this wheelbarrow. Not one person acted on what they said they believed. Amen. Now, would it be different if I was the one pushing the wheelbarrow? Would you get in it and let me push you across? Huh? Brother York says no real quick. But what if Jesus is holding the handles of that wheelbarrow and pushing it across? Would you get in it then? Are you sure? You trust Jesus more than me. That's good. Because Jesus never fails. He cannot fail. He is God. So it makes a difference who's pushing the wheelbarrow. Right? Jesus holds the handles of our wheelbarrow of faith. He's waiting for us to climb on board and trust him. Everyone cannot control a loaded wheelbarrow. Now I'm talking about a wheelbarrow with just one wheel. Back when I was growing up, those were the man's wheelbarrow. Now they got wheelbarrows out with two wheels. They can't tilt them too easy. They won't upset too easy. But that manly wheelbarrow, just one wheel, I have upset a lot of them. But I would not buy a two-wheel wheelbarrow for nothing. I didn't think that was manly. And I like to be manly. Right? Well, I tried. I take a wheelbarrow. My father would have a load of cement in his wheelbarrow, and he'd turn his back on it for a little while, and I'd run up there and trying to help, grab him handles, and tug, and then all that concrete pours out. And my father was not as merciful as this brother Moon's father was. I would have liked traded fathers a time or two. Amen. I was only trying to help, but I got into more trouble trying to help than lots of things I could have got into. But anyway, my son followed my footsteps. I'd have a wheelbarrow out there loaded with dirt or cement. He'd come up behind it and I'd get off of that, Ricky, don't do that. And sometimes I didn't show much mercy either. But a loaded wheelbarrow is not easy to handle, right? You're out on a construction job, you have a little plank to roll up on, you got to balance yourself on that plank, and it's wet and messy, and you're running up there, got mud all over it. You got to hold that wheelbarrow steady, get up there, dump it over into where it has to go. A wheelbarrow is used to carry heavy loads, to transport things from one site to another. God uses, in a sense, a type, a wheelbarrow to carry us over our trials, to carry us through our situations of life. He only wants you to get on board. He'll take care of handling the handles. He'll keep it well balanced, and he'll take it through the most slippery places, and he'll guide it through the most terrible things and never spill you out. Amen. My children were little. They liked to ride in a wheelbarrow. And they really thought it was a lot of fun when I'd spill them out. They got a big kick out of that. But God doesn't spill us out. He takes us safely through. Amen. This experience that Jehoshaphat had in dealing with the enemy of Judah is a lesson to us of how we need to face our difficulties today. First of all, it was a battle he didn't ask for. He didn't bring it upon himself. He was not the aggressor. Amen. Nor was he in any way responsible for stirring up the massive force that had come against him. Jehoshaphat was not belligerent in his Christian life. Many saints bring trouble upon themselves by not using wisdom as they should, by not being cautious and careful and wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Sometimes Christians can be guilty of stirring up unnecessary problems in their own life simply by being overly aggressive, getting out ahead of the Lord, doing things to bring trouble upon themselves. Amen. Being belligerent, being antagonistic, we can bring a lot of difficulties into our own life, into our own families. Amen. I think about Daniel many times. When he heard the king's decree that he was not to pray to any other god for 30 days, the scripture says that he went in, his windows were open towards Jerusalem, and he knelt there at that window as he had done aforetime. That was his habit, that was his conduct, that was his daily behavior. He was not being belligerent. He was not being antagonistic. He was not trying to cause a problem, but he'd always done this. But I know people that if the king would make such a decree, they'd go in there and just dare and just throw that window open and belligerence and bow down there and make a scene of praying just to see what's going to happen. Well, they may have been ate up by the lions. But Daniel did this out of the humility of his heart, as he had always done. He was being faithful to his God. It's one reason why we need to establish good, proper, godly conduct on a daily basis. All day, every day, that the world around us will know that we're steadfast, stable, faithful. We're not out to stir trouble. Amen. We're not out to antagonize others. We're out to be a light, be a witness, to be a testimony. Verse 1 tells us these forces came against him to battle. They were dwelling in the land of Canaan. This we must also realize: when we're saved from our sin, we too are dwelling in the land that God has given us. We're dwelling in a land of holiness, godliness, righteousness. Amen. We're wearing the white robes of righteousness. Amen. We're living for God. We're not in this world, but we're not of this world. But we're in the world, but not of it. We're a part of society, but we're not tied to the things that make the world go. We are citizens of another country. Amen. We find that Jehoshaphat feared. He feared. Many times I've feared. You ever been afraid in the spiritual conflict? Some people can testify they've never been afraid of anything. I can't testify that way. I have been afraid of lots of things. Some people have testified they've never shook, they've never trembled. I can't say that. I have shook and I've trembled. But I can say the rock I'm standing on has never trembled. The rock I'm standing on has never shook. I've shook before. Amen. Hello. Amen. But God is solid, steadfast. You know why? Because he is God. There's nothing big enough to scare the Lord. Nothing big enough to frighten him. Amen. We can get frightened sometimes at our own shadow. But God cannot be frightened by any force of any kind. And neither is he ever surprised by anything that happens. Jehoshaphat feared, but I want to point out, he allowed his fear to direct him properly. He didn't let his fear get the best of him, but his fear drove him to prayer. His fear got a hold of him, and he didn't sit down and wonder what in the world he's going to do, but he went right to prayer, proclaimed a fast throughout all the land, gathered the people together, and they began to seek the Lord. A lot of our victories depend upon how we handle our fear. Fear can rob us. Fear can damage our outlook. Fear can affect our expectations. Fear can eat away at our confidence. Being afraid to make a bold move for God can rob us of the victory. Fear can be a deadly thing to us, church. Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. And there he prayed, and you know what he done? He strengthened himself in his prayer. He reminded God of all of his promises, reminded God how he had brought out the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage. He reminded the Lord of all of the things God done in the past and encouraged his own heart. And he said that in God's hand there is power and might, so that none is able to withstand God. He didn't feel that way when he first got the news of this great army out there ready to come at him. He didn't feel that way, but after prayer, he began to feel. In fact, while he was praying, he said, in God's hand, there is power and might, so that none is able to withstand God. To us today, we know that if God does not intervene the way we hope, he will give us grace to cope. When God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we hope, but he makes you able to cope, makes you able to handle things, to go through things. God doesn't always change the situation. Sometimes he changes our attitude towards it. Sometimes he enlightens our mind to things that we never thought of before, gives us instruction, direction, and how to deal with different types of problems in our life. God knows all these things. Verse 7, Jehoshaphat brought that to God's mind in prayer. He said, thou art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and give us to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? We must allow our fears to direct us in the right way. Amen. Now that we are the children of God and of light, Satan is going to come against us as a roaring lion. He is out to devour every child of God. He's out to bring about your downfall. He's out to eat away at your experience with God. Don't feel that you're going to get through without much of a conflict. Brother, if you're really living godly, living holy, living righteous, and you're really drawing close to God, you are the enemy's target. Satan is after you, and he wants to drive you a wedge in between you and that precious experience you have with the Lord. Young people, always keep in mind that you don't have it made just because you're in a Church of God congregation, or you're from a Church of God family, or you have godly mothers and fathers. Remember, this is an individual battle. You're going to learn it as you grow older. The battle is individually fought. You have to win this battle for yourself, young person. Teenager, you are in a battle as well as your mother and father, as well as the older saints in the congregation. The devil is out after every single one of us. Amen. Verse 11 that the enemy has come against us to cast us out of thy possession. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do to you and I today. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been living for God, how close to the Lord you think you are, that is no protection against the enemy waging warfare against you. He's going to try to destroy your soul. That's his business. Verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 9. If and when evil comes our way, we need to get ourselves into the presence of God and cry unto him in our distress. God will hear and help. Evil comes upon us from many forms. It can involve oppression, trial, illness, long-standing difficulties, tragedies, heartbreaks, heartaches. Brother, there's no end to the things the enemy can take as they come against us, even ordinary problems in life. The devil can get a hold of them and turn them into a conflict with your soul. Amen. Verse 12 reminds us again that any opposition of evil is more than we can handle. Don't feel you can ever handle the least little wrong that the enemy's bringing against you. Don't feel you can handle Satan in the smallest things that he tries. Take it to God in prayer. Lean on the Lord. Remember, he's holding the handles of that wheelbarrow. Climb in and be safe. He'll not dump you. All right? He'll take you through. Amen. Afflictions, tragic situations, loss of health, our security can be taken away from us, loss of prosperity. Amen. Many things can come against the children of God. But let us learn that even what appears to be a small evil, it is far too powerful for us to deal with. We need to live in the presence of God. Jesus told Peter one time, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And if he desires to sift Peter as wheat, he desires to sift us also. And that sifting is to determine whether we are chaff or true wheat. He's sifting. And when the result's over, you'll find yourself to still be standing with God or be on the sidelines. The decision is always ours. Let us be true wheat, that when the sifter's done sifting, the chaff will be blown away, and the wheat, the true experience of God in our soul, will still be standing. Amen. In the midst of all this fear come some encouraging words. Verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They were waiting and wondering. And then God moves. God speaks. They sung a song the other night. His voice makes the difference. God spoke in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that uncertain time. By the mouth of a prophet, God spoke to one that he may speak to all. Now God could have spoken to every one of them with the voice of a trumpet. But God had his way of operation. Amen. Many times he'll speak through your pastor. Hello. He'll speak through your pastor. And a lot of times people get a little touchy. I don't know why. But there's something about human nature that doesn't really like another human counseling them. Who do you think you are? You don't know my situation, but your pastor is not just a somebody. He is the man of God. He has the word of God. He's not just your neighbor. He's not just a friend. He's not just somebody that's part of the congregation, but he is here as God's mouthpiece. Not just in this congregation, but in every congregation where there's a true man of God. He is there to speak for your soul's benefit. If we can throw away all of our crazy, interfering feelings, get them out of the way, bury them, get them cleansed out of our heart and life, and have an attitude as we come into the house of God. Lord, I come to be perfected. I come to hear from heaven. I want you to talk to me, Lord. As pastors preaching the word, give me what I need from that word. And you know, if you have a good attitude, God will bring to you what you need. Amen. Well, he will. Right? Do we agree? Are we the church of God? Do we believe in listening to a man of God preach to us? And that we should obey that? Even if we don't necessarily agree with it? See, this submission to a pastor is something that's fading by the wayside in our day and age in a great way. I had a man in my congregation tell me that God showed him he did not need a pastor, that the Holy Spirit was his pastor. And I said to him, if God is talking to you, God would tell you the first thing you need to do is listen to your pastor. Amen? Of course, he didn't accept that. He went away on his own way, pastoring himself. But if you want spiritual victory, we have to do it God's way. Amen. My watch is trying to run away from me. My time is running away. But I want us to realize this morning, God's holding the handles of the wheelbarrow that can take us across the cable of all of our trouble, our trials, our hardships. Trust him. Get in the wheelbarrow. Consider what kind of response we get in our day with so many that are gospel hardened and so far removed from real acting faith. Many would no doubt sit and question the wisdom of the words of the man of God. No doubt we don't see this at all in Jehoshaphat's day when the prophet gave the word from the Lord. Everybody, women, children, men, little ones, they all grasped it, held to it, bowed down and worshiped the Lord, gave unto God his due reverence, and God honored them with total, complete victory, greater than they could have ever imagined. They had a tremendous victory, and they never had to engage in battle themselves. God will take care of you. As we think about these things, in the many dark and stormy times of life, Jesus appears with a wheelbarrow and he asks us to climb in. Climb in, child. Get on board. I'll take you through. Trust me. We'll go through together. He'll carry us through, over, around the difficulties and be with us all the way. My mind went to dear sister Wills, Brother George Wills' wife from North Point, Maryland. She came down with leukemia. And she testified, she lived for about 3 years after she came down with leukemia. She spent several weeks with us in Ovapa, wife and I. And in those last 3 years of her life, she was more spiritual, closer to God than we'd ever seen her. She was a very sweet, special woman. God blessed her, she testified and said many times, God never promised to heal me, but he promised he would be with me all the way. And that experience drew her so close to the Lord. It was a blessing to be around her. She didn't take her affliction in sorrow or mourning or downcast or discouraged. She accepted it as from the Lord and said, God told her, I'll be with you. I'll take you through. Amen. Isn't that precious? We thought, well, God should have healed her. Well, we'd all praying that he would. But God designed to do it this way for her. And you know what? She had a sweet, submissive spirit to that. And God blessed her last years more than all the years she had lived. What's more important, having our way or submitting to God's way? We can live in the midst of tragedy, hardship, difficulty, if we have a sweet spirit, saturated by the love of God, submissive unto the Lord. It's important to trust him. Oh, so many times our emotions are so down because all we can see in the horizon of our life is trouble, sickness, battles, temptations, and trials. But lift up your heads unto the hills, from whence cometh all of our help. And Psalms, I like this verse, Psalms 3:3. I've used it a lot of times. He is the lifter up of my head. Sometimes my head gets to hanging down. You know, you're kind of downcast. Your emotions are down. You're a little discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Huh? Ever been discouraged? Don't be ashamed to say so. Yeah, I was. I've been discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Amen. Well, show the people you've been discouraged. Raise your hand. Yeah, I have. Hey, preachers get discouraged. Amen. We get discouraged. But the thing is, we cannot stay discouraged. We cannot let discouragement rule us. We have to conquer it, defeat it. Amen. Climb on top of it. Get it behind us. And the Lord sometimes is coming around. And the Lord, I need my head lifted up. I can't lift up my head. And God comes and he lifts up our head. You know how so many times I've feet of Jesus in prayer in that secret closet. There you're pouring your heart out to the Lord. You're crying, calling upon his name. I tell you, you come out of that prayer closet, you can feel the strength of God in your soul again. You can feel your spirits lifted. God is still with you. Glory to God. I'm ready to get in that wheelbarrow. Amen. Let's go, Lord. I know you'll never fail me. I don't have to be afraid. This is a simple message. And I'm going to leave this with you. But I just trust that God will help us to put our trust and our faith in the fact that he knows what he's doing. He is God. He is more than sufficient to go with us and take us through. You're going through some hard times this morning. Your emotions are drained. You've been discouraged, been cast down. Maybe fear has taken a hold of you. Amen. Maybe you're just not sure of what's going to happen tomorrow. And sometimes when you focus on tomorrow, tomorrow can be a scary thing. Amen. But let us focus upon the present. Right now, God offers us strength, help, hope, encouragement. Don't be ashamed to bring your troubles to the Lord. That's what the saints are here for. That's what the church is for. Partly what the church is for. That's what we're here for, is to defeat the enemy of our soul. Don't let the devil get his foot in your life. Gets the foot in the door. Man, I've had my foot in a lot of people's doors and got it slammed on when I was a teenager trying to sell magazines. They taught us, literally, get that foot in the door when you're talking to the lady. Slide it up in the doorway. She tries to slam the door, your foot will keep it open. As long as you got that door open, you can possibly get a sale. I found out my foot got sore a lot quicker than I got any sales. But listen, that's what the devil likes to do, if he can just get a foot in. Get a thought in your mind. And you let it stay. It's not going to be long till you're going to be worthless for the Lord. You're going to be discouraged, cast down, out of order. I've told the congregation at home many times when I pastored, I said, some of you saints, I feel like I need to come in and just hang an out of order sign around your neck. Out of order. It's just not functioning right. And you don't want to lose your money. You see a machine, pop machine or something, you put your money in, you're expecting a nice cold pop. Right? And you don't get it. You say, why did they put an out of order sign on this thing? And we're expecting something from each other. When I go to the house of God, I'm expecting some good things from the saints. I need you. I'm not pastoring now. I'm part of a congregation, but I need them. And I'd like to think they need me. We are a help to one another. But if you're out of order, you're not helping anybody else and you're not helping yourself. Let's be what God wants us to be. You always like to say, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. Probably don't have any idea what you're going through. But God knows. And we're not talking fairy tales. We're talking real life situations. God does know about everything about you, and he cares every bit about you. And he wants to lift up your head. He wants to encourage your heart. You need the Lord this morning. You need help from heaven. It's here for us. Let's put in for it. Get in that wheelbarrow and trust the Lord. He'll not fail you. Well, sometimes he might shake the wheelbarrow a little bit. I don't know if the Lord has any amusement in him. He must, the way he made some of us. But I can picture the Lord wheeling us along and just shaking the wheelbarrow a little bit. Oh, hold on. Lord says, just hold steady. I've got control. I'm still in control. Amen. Let's stand. Are you where God wants you to be this morning?